I just dressed up to my boots and went up over it.
My 21-inch truck.
Beautiful.
But that one was perfect. It had no splits in the doors. It was almost pride.
Nice on my fly line. They would not. They're thinking about whenever.
Each yard, I envision for five solid days.
Good morning, Governor.
Morning, Governor.
Morning, Governor. Good to see you again.
Governor, do you have a great?
I want to see you anywhere.
Any arrangement?
Well, okay. Jim? I thought you were going to stick together.
I'll be introducing you for a few comments at first, and then I'll be introducing Ken. Roland Fisher. After you finish, I'll introduce two others for comments. Good morning. If you're ready, I think we'll start. Start off by saying this is a great day for Oregonians. It's a great day for those who love our land, our rivers, and our resources. It's a great day for fishermen, for outdoorsmen, for everyone who treasures the majesty of our environment. And it's a great day in the history of a great river. Today, it's my pleasure, genuine pleasure, to announce an Oregon milestone. We have reached an agreement which will lead to putting over 3,200 priceless acres of the Deschutes River into public ownership. We've raised the down payment, we're signing the agreement, and we've set ourselves the task of bringing this section of the Deschutes into permanent public ownership within a year. We raised a down payment on the future. We've taken rapid and decisive action. Now we have 1 year to finish a job that will keep an Oregon treasure for generations. Seated here this morning are Mr. Tyson, representing the owners, Mr. Roland Fisher, president of the Oregon Wildlife Heritage Foundation, and Mr. Kent Clarkquist, chairman of the State Fish and Wildlife Commission. The foundation and the owners, the Eastern Oregon Land Company, have reached agreement and will sign that agreement today. We are determined to see this first step lead to permanent public ownership. The owners agreed to sell and the foundation agrees to buy. We have a year to raise all the necessary money to purchase the property. But our work is just beginning. The purchase price of $1,600,000 is fair. Our game plan now calls for about one half of that amount to come through state agency budgets, with the other half being raised by the Oregon Wildlife Heritage Foundation between now and September 1983. For those of you that it might be useful, because so many of us also know, I think it might be good to give a bit of background. The map on the wall here shows the property in some detail. All you have to remember is that it's the mouth of the Deschutes River just beyond the Dalles on the Wasco-Sherman County line. There are over 3,200 acres involved, with about 13 miles of river frontage on both sides. It is one of the greatest steelhead trout fishing rivers anywhere. It is one of our state's scenic waterways and is heavily used by recreational boaters and rafters. It is also an important site in our state's history. In its own way, it is a recreational and national treasure in eastern Oregon, as our beaches are in the west. It is truly a priceless treasure of the state. Some time ago, I'd been visited by sports fishermen who convinced me that a fishing club to buy this land for their exclusive use was an idea that could very well succeed. But we thought there was a better alternative. Our streams and beaches must be available for all Oregonians to enjoy. So we approached the owners of the property, and they agreed to take the property off the market for 90 days to give us the chance to put a purchase package together. There was no time to get legislative approval. We knew that the owners would sell it to another party after the September 24th option deadline. We had to move fast, and that's where the foundation came in. They agreed to do two things: act as a temporary buyer to get the property off the market and give the agencies time to get the project approved by the legislature, and two, to raise the difference, probably half, through a fundraising drive during the next year. That's a very big job, and I want to thank them, as every Oregonian should thank them, for their dedication and guts. It's not an easy time to raise money. In order to make the down payment, we quickly contacted some public-spirited individuals and organizations, and we asked them for low or no interest loans to be repaid with funds raised later to make the down payment. And some of them are here today, and I want to personally thank them for what they've done. Now we've raised the down payment. We've reached agreement with the owners. And now we have a year to get the job done. We in government will do our part by going to the legislature to get partial funding of this project. You, of course, will help in that project. But the public at large, Oregonians who will benefit from this project down through the years, are the ones who will really have to make this work. They're going to have to give money. They're going to have to help raise money quickly. We're convinced that the people of Oregon will respond to the challenge, as they have done many times. As many of you know, I have a deep and personal attachment to this project. I really do love the Deschutes River. I spent many happy hours fishing, happy even when I didn't catch any fish, and enjoying the beautiful canyon. We have an opportunity to buy and make public for everyone, for all time, one of the most fabulous sections of river in Oregon. It may be now or never. We cannot and will not let the opportunity slip through our fingers. There is excitement, and there's something we feel good about, and it is a worthwhile project, and we will get it done. Before I introduce three individuals to make comments, I want to call particular attention to Dave Talbot for Parks, who has done an exceptional job in being our Kissinger of shuttling back and forth and trying to put things together. I certainly think also our Fish and Wildlife Department and Jack Donaldson have been very helpful in the whole process. I'm fully aware of the time that both of them have taken, particularly Dave, in going over the property and making sure the appraisals were done and showing others the property and talking it up. But there are others, and they are major actors as well. And so I'd like to ask some comments from them. The first of them is Mr. Paul Tyson of the Eastern Oregon Land Company. Mr. Tyson.
Thank you, Governor. It's a real pleasure to be here today and to finalize the transaction with the state of Oregon for the purchase of the Deschutes. So I also have had a lifetime of interest in conservation and have been successful in getting several parks donated to the state of California. And Scott Martin, who is with me today and represents the family owning Eastern Oregon Land Company, also has been extremely interested in conservation. And I can't tell you how much pleasure it gives us that the state of Oregon will have this. And having spent many hours on the Deschutes along with you, not with you, but at different times, I know we all will share this, that it is a real treasure, and thank you very much.
Thank you. I think you could tell by his comments that that he and the ownership of the Eastern Oregon Land Company felt as we did. Let's see if we can get this done, rather than oftentimes we find, let's see how we can't do something. I think that's why we really got going on the project. And now a major actor in this whole process, Mr. Roland Fisher, president of the Oregon Wildlife Heritage Foundation. They have stuck their neck out. And what we need to know is a little bit what comes next in terms of a fundraiser, and of course, any other comments he'd like to make. Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Governor Attia. On behalf of the Foundation, I'd first like very much to express our gratitude to you for your personal effort and your personal commitment in this. It's been most meaningful, believe me. On behalf of the Foundation and also as an individual, I'd like very simply to say that I'm most pleased that we've been able to reach a mutually satisfactory agreement with the owners. I hope by sticking out my neck that I am in some small way repaying the state of Oregon for the wealth of recreational pleasure that I have gained in the 26 years that I have lived here.
And finally, Ken Clarquist, Chairman of the Fish and Wildlife Commission, whom I'm sure is delighted to be here today to talk about a project in which almost everyone agrees, which I also am sure has not always been the case of recent months. Mr. Clarquist.
Thank you, Governor Attia. You're absolutely right. All our moments the last several months have not been altogether pleasant. And so it is particularly satisfying for me today to participate in this joyous occasion. And I found out that this Deschutes property was available on the lower section of the Deschutes. I made it a personal resolve that by some means it was going to become the property of the state of Oregon. And I have dedicated what little efforts I could contribute because Dave Talbot and others really carried the laboring oar in it. But I did make what efforts I could to make sure that we moved along towards trying to acquire this delightful piece of property, which I think is going to be of long-term benefit to the state of Oregon, one of the greatest things we have. A particular satisfaction to me is that we have arranged this so that the public at large can participate in sharing in the acquisition of this property by their contribution. And I'm delighted that so many individuals have already told me that they want to participate by contributions of money and help in the accumulation of the money which will be necessary to conclude this purchase. It's a delightful occasion, and I'm happy to be a part of it, and I want to particularly thank Governor Attia for his spearheading this effort to make sure that we accomplish what we set out to do, and to thank the sellers for their willingness to enter into the agreement that we presently have. Thank you all.
It's hard to tell really what historically is important. It's very hard really to see it at the time in which it occurs. I think this is historic. I, reflecting a little on history, would say to you that I'm confident that no one except us who are here will really remember the excitement of the moment, the beginning of this time. But that's good enough for us. But we also know, and you could tell by listening to us, having experience to the Deschutes, we also are able to project what others many, many, many years from now will experience because of the particular interest of those who were here before you today. And it's good, genuinely good, to be involved in such a great project. I think now probably would be appropriate for us, any one of us, to answer any questions that you may have.
Well, Governor, is there a pool of money available for this acquisition since half of it will be paid by the state, or will you have to trim budgets that much more, or where will the money come?
No, what I'm going to do, Dave, would you please come up here, and he can give you more detail. I've gone through the plan with him and with Jack Donaldson in terms of where state monies would come from, and also maybe even a question of how this down payment has been put together. And he having gone through it, you better come up here, Dave, so they can see you, can give you the details of it, and I'll ask him to do that.
Thank you, Governor. The plan, as the governor commented, is that about half the money would come from state agency budgets to be approved by the upcoming legislative session. So we've got that job to do. We've got to convince them that the money that's in the Fish and Wildlife budget, which would come from their dedicated revenues for the most part, or the other side of that is not general funds, is worthwhile expenditure, and we're confident that that can be accomplished. State Parks will put in a small amount, $125,000 in our budget, which the Transportation Commission, Commissioner Tom Walsh is here in the back room. They've blessed that, and I have to tell the legislature that that's a worthy expenditure. We have a park at the mouth of the river, and we manage the Scenic Waterway Program, so there's ample justification for us to be involved financially. So that's about half. The other half is going to come from you and me. As individuals. Pardon me, the fish and wildlife money, as I understand it, comes from fishing licenses and hunting licenses, and perhaps from the checkoff fund for non-game, and they do have access to federal aid as well for use in this project.
So that would come to about $675,000
then? $750,000 plus $125,000 is the agency budget proposal that will move to the governor very soon. Correct.
How much of a down payment have you made at this point?
The initial down payment is $200,000.
That money's been put?
We have that money secured through $60,000 out of the Fish and Wildlife budget, today's budget, which they're authorized to spend, and the balance in loans from interested citizens and organizations throughout the state. The appraisal information comes from two sources. One is the Fish and Wildlife Department's appraisal and from the Highway Department appraisal reviewed by federal Fish and Wildlife officials here in Portland.
Mr. Fisher, could I ask you a question?
Certainly.
About the fundraising? Have you organized? When are you going to start? When are you going to start?
We hope to start immediately after the 1st of October. We have had conversations with professional people in this field to give us guidance, and most likely, although it's not certain yet, most likely it's subject to approval by the board. Final approval, we'll enter into a contract with the most skilled group we can find in this respect.
Will it be a direct mail campaign?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. Whatever's fair. We're going to approach the people of Oregon in every way to get their attention, to convince them that this is a worthwhile project. Fundraising is a science and an art and a thing all unto itself, and I would have to defer to the professionals in that respect as to the best way to approach it.
Well, I don't actually, to answer your last question first, it's the reason we are acquiring it is not to restrict public access. In other words, for the public to be able to use the land, if it became into private ownership, our concern was that there would be restricted access. It is a scenic waterway in the sense that it's a management problem that I think will form as time moves along. Management in the sense of, and I know more detail of the, I guess I'll call it the middle of the chutes, an area from Maupin up to Warm Springs I'm more familiar with, in which people do have access, can camp ashore at appropriate places. And I think you will recall we had this Deschutes River task force that was trying to, in some manner, improve the ability for people to use the Deschutes. Maybe the first long range that I can think of is maybe protecting the banks so that we can get the right kind of propagation for fish, that is with the trees and shrubs and bushes. Incidentally, one thing I did forget to say, and it does come to mind when I just answer your question, one of the other real values and merits that have gone on during the course of the discussion is that we've kept in constant touch with those people that are adjacent to and even leasing the land at the present time, and so everyone has been involved in our ongoing process. I don't think we can look for any immediate move in and formal parks or anything like that. Actually, we're so excited about just making the initial acquisition I think a development plan will just come along as we move down the line.
Governor, not clear, was Eastern Oregon Land Company going to sell it to another party, or was Eastern Oregon Land Company going to create a private fishing club?
They're not going to create a private fishing club.
Is that what they wanted to do with it?
No. Excuse me. There was another group of people that were going to acquire the property, and what they were going to do was to sell ownerships, $10,000 or $20,000, I've forgotten, per ownership, a limited number of people that would be buying that property, who would own it. And that was the first suggestion that came to me, and we thought that it might be more appropriate to put it in public ownership rather than private ownership.
Before, there was no time to get legislative approval. That couldn't have come up in September at the special session. You've known about this roughly since June. You had a 90-day lead time.
Well, I tell you this, that we very carefully, we meaning legislative leaders along with me, carefully avoided as many issues as possible, which is always the case, and only those that relate to a budget, that I don't consider that as being a terrible oversight. I'm sure that, let me also say, that it should be said, that the leadership and many members of the Oregon Legislature are aware of the project and are very supportive of it. That doesn't mean that it's going to go through. It's just that this is not going to be a surprise to them.
So it was more, was it actually more of a conscious decision not to bring that up before the emergency board or the legislature simply because of the time constraint?
That's right. Pure and simply time. We asked them, it just happened to work out in the sequence of time. When we asked for 90 days and the company was kind enough to grant us take the property off the market for 90 days and let us put something together. Obviously, we didn't know then we were going to have a special session. We just had to start moving.
You have cleared all the procedures with the Attorney General?
Yes. We've been very careful as to our role in this and how it should proceed.
Is it true, sir, that you've actually fished on the Deschutes and haven't caught it?
I'm sorry to tell you, yes, it has. It is. All right. Now, that's just because it wasn't me. The fish weren't around at that point in time. We all understand that. Matter of fact, I can remember as much as the great days I've had, some of the exasperating days I've had. It's a wonderful stream with native fish.
One concern that has been raised by, I believe, of Mr. Buck Coe, a cattle rancher who lives further up the river, in fact, is the tremendous use of the river because it is so popular.
Mr. Coe was a member.
Yes, I hear that something maybe have to be done at some point, or is this just going to be totally open to the public?
No, I have to refer to the Deschutes River Task Force, which we put together, and Buck Coe was a member of it. And we were trying to work out a voluntary program, which incidentally is really working quite well. Voluntary, an effort of making paying a fee, which helps us with both the State Police Patrol and cadets, I guess. And they're going down and talking to people. And what we're really trying to do is to control the great number. But more than that, what we're really trying to control is any damage to shore, overcamping, and generally improve the area so that more people can enjoy it. My personal intention is not trying to limit people. They enjoy it. I've watched them. They're having a good time. They've drift, and it's just a great human experience, and we ought to continue doing that.
You wouldn't see expanding within that or making more restrictive any?
I don't right now. There are no other questions. I'm grateful for you to be here. I would, before you leave, if you would like to make a contribution to this effort, it would be most appreciated. Okay? And there's no point in waiting. If you know what I was thinking, pardon me for even being the retail rug merchant that I am, that what we ought to do is print up some certificates and sell a square inch of that for a buck or two or five or whatever. And people of Oregon can buy a square inch. Now, they can define their own square inch, whatever it is. But whatever gimmick we can to raise money, including my appeal to you right now, if you want to get in on the ground floor, here's your chance. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate it. Really sorry. I really appreciate your effort and initiative for doing this. I think it's going to be a great thing for the city of Oregon.
All right, it's all set.
Where's your money? Don't worry about it. I'm going to sign you up for a square inch.
Governor, I just wanted to know that my first and a half hour appreciates all
the Oh, you're kidding. 2.5 hours?
I'm pleased to have been.
If Paul's going to give some. This is Governor Vic Attia. Congratulations to the team of KOAC, the second oldest radio station in Oregon, as this fine station celebrates its 60th anniversary. Contrary to human natural law, you have maintained your youthful progressiveness. The years ahead are exciting and challenging, and KOAC, as always, will be there with vitality.
We'll deal with it. But I do want to thank you all very much. Loris and I have been so proud. I want to tell you that the thing that's really made this thing so successful, both in 78 and this time, are all of you, volunteers. Last time we told the media and everyone that we had a tremendous group of volunteers, and nobody believed us. And so we said, that's okay, we just didn't mention it this time. But we have more volunteers this time than we did in 1978, and I'm grateful for that. I'm not sure after
all. Oh, one. God, it comes and
it comes and goes, huh? Got something wrong in the switch? Test 1, 2, 3.
No, I think it's working now. I'm gonna in the earphone.
Yeah.
And listen to it to make sure it's coming through.
Did the same thing. Bought a new phone. Can't you? Sometimes the earphone doesn't work unless it's on playback, too. It depends on the recorder.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. I see. Well, it must be recording. Go ahead.
Okay. Why don't you roll it back and see? You can do that.
That's a good idea.
Shoot.
Okay, we have throughput. Here we go. Four vice presidents of the State Accident Insurance Fund Corporation announced their resignations today. Vice President Jim Randall says that he and fellow Vice Presidents Dave Davidson, John Galbraith, and Tony Farinato would leave the company by the end of the year. The only remaining Vice President, Hank McCauley, had earlier announced plans to retire by the end of the year. The four followed the lead of President Chuck Gill in leaving the semi-public company. Gill resigned last Friday. He said he would rather leave the company than be its leader after it was returned to the level of a state agency, which he said was likely given the mood of the legislature. SAFE is under investigation by the Secretary of State, the State Insurance Commissioner, a special investigator appointed by the governor, and a joint legislative task force. All are trying to find out how well SAFE has performed as a semi-independent insurance company. Some critics have called for the company's return to the state bureaucratic fold, but Democratic Senator Charles Hamlin of Cornelius, co-chairman of the Senate of the legislative task force, said he was unaware of any overwhelming pressure to change SAFE status. The insurance commissioner and secretary of state are conducting a performance audit of SAFE. Plus Anderson, the governor's investigator, is trying to determine whether SAFE board members abuse the power of their office by getting low-cost insurance for their companies. Anderson's report is due in about a week, and the audits of the company are due around the end of the year. Randall has been vice president for corporate and employee relations. Davidson has been the company's actuary. Galbraith has been chief financial officer. And Farinato has been in charge of the legal and claims sections. Randall said the members of the board have known for a couple of days that the vice presidents would resign in concert. He said all of the vice presidents felt they had to make their positions clear because the board is searching for a successor to Gill. Randall said, quote, the vice presidents have been assessing their future and what moves they will make. The company was crippled by the $81 million transfer and ceased to be an insurance company. He referred to the legislature's decision in September to transfer $81 million from SAFE's nearly $200 million surplus to the general fund. The transfer was described by the governor as a one-time move to help finance the balance the budget, rather. Gill, the board of directors, and SAFE's top management have opposed the transfer. So far, they have been unsuccessful in attempts to get the courts to declare the transfer unconstitutional. Randall said the top executives of SAFE were upset by the legislature's decision to tap the company surplus. They viewed the surplus as a trust that could not be used for purposes other than compensation of injured workers or programs related to worker safety. During the special session, Gill and his lieutenants argued that the surplus funds belong to the employers who bought insurance from the company. SAFE policies cover about 40% of Oregon's workforce. The SAFE's board allowed the surplus to reach nearly $200 million even after paying dividends and adjusting rates. The surplus was in addition to reserves set aside to cover any reasonable contingency. Still, Randall said taking the $81 million made it impossible for SAFE executives to look an employer in the eye and sell him an insurance policy if some of the premiums might eventually go into the state general fund. Randall said the vice presidents would be willing to assist their replacements during the transition of leadership, possibly on a consulting basis. Okay, let's see. Also, in a bulletin, it said the four followed the lead of President Chuck Gillen leaving the semi-public company rather than face the prospect of having it return to the status of a state agency. So that was also part of that thinking.
Okay,
that's from the bulletin. I don't know if it's listed in here. This was more or less expanded.
Well, that's all right. That's the best we've heard. So.
Okay, that just came across here about 20 minutes ago. So it took him about 20 minutes to type it out, it looks like, on the teletype.
Okay.
So that's what I've got. You may talk to the old newspaper dogs, and they may get some new angle, but that's what we've got.
Well, I appreciate that. Hopefully we can make some time available for the governor on this thing, too.
Oh, fine. We have news at the bottom of...
At the ballot box. Why it's on the ballot.
Why has it been this
the process has been abrasive. There have been some real, I think, legitimate complaints with the process, certainly at the state level, and then you get it confused between cities and counties. And I think they've been legitimate. I believe that all along. I've said that most Oregonians want state land use planning, but a whole lot of them didn't like the way how it was being done. And it's the how that I tried to convey to our commissioners as I appointed commissioners or reappointed them. Many of you know I talked to the department and the planners, trying to get them the perception of what county commissioners and city councilmen go through in trying to get this process done. Then there's a group, and I can understand it in Oregon, you know, this is, still pioneer, come out here for land, and they don't want anybody to tell them what to do with their land, and that's part of that process. So anytime you get into land use planning, it has to be controversial. So the whole thing you should really try to do is to make it as understandable as possible and make the process as good as possible. And we really haven't worked hard at that until 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago.
It's a question for Mr. Gray. Associated Oregon Industries is supporting Ballot Measure 6. To what do you attribute the apparent confusion or the apparent dissension within the business community? Do you think of small business against big business, or not against, but is there a division here?
Frankly, I don't know. I'm inactive in the AORI, our company is, and I don't know whether that was a close vote with AORI or not. A number of the business firms are not in favor of Ballot Measure 6. Earl Watlin and I, Earl Tektronix and myself, Beaumark, have signed the no vote argument in the voters' book pamphlet going out. A great number of local businesses are contributing to the no vote campaign. So I can't tell you the inner workings of AOI as to why they took that stand.
Mr. Gray, why phone the committee October 6th as opposed to earlier? Have you seen a poll or something, gentlemen, that shows that Ballot Measure 6 has a far lead or something, has a large lead?
I didn't get the first part of your question.
Why phone the committee
in October. Why not form it earlier? Have you seen something that says that ballot measure 6 is likely to pass? That's why you formed the committee now.
Oh, the committee was formed about a month ago. It was not formed in October. We've been working on our campaign and the fundraising. Tom Walsh, myself, Bill Wessinger, Henry Richmond, and others who have had an interest in this for all the other campaigns, Hector McPherson, a number of us been working on this with staff. It's very hard to tell, of course, any of these ballot measures with the anti-government climate in the state. We want to be certain that the people of Oregon are properly informed about the pros and cons of this issue. That's why we are working on this and why we are raising some funds to attempt to tell people what would happen if the measure should pass.
Have any of the four of you gentlemen approved the results of any surveys or polls on the likelihood of ballot measure 6 passing?
I don't think I have. Nothing concrete. I don't know if sure as any staff could answer. Angus, could you answer that?
There certainly are some polls out. They probably show right now that ballot measure 6, that there are probably more people favoring it than opposing it, but there's a very large undecided. And they also show that there's a lot of residual support in the state for statewide land use planning. As the governor said, there are people concerned about the process, but there are an awful lot of people supporting statewide land use planning itself.
Would you call it a toss-up?
I'm supposed to hear Angus's report there. If it sounded, it'd be very close. It depends upon the people getting at the ballot and how they feel that particular day, I suppose, and what they feel about statewide goals will influence the vote.
Maybe I say you can define it any way you want. You heard him and I heard him, and you can use your own definition. Our purpose really is to tell Oregonians that we don't think it's good for our state to vote for ballot measure 6. And that's to try to predict what the poll says or give it a definition. Is you're just going to do that yourself. You heard it. I heard it for the first time, so you can use your own judgment. I really believe it's better for our state after all of the millions of dollars and all the hours of work put in by citizens, put in by elected officials, put in by the state of Oregon, all the debate and arguments on the floor of the legislature, the hours I put in committees trying to get some amendments, and the hours last session trying to get the changes in the law. We're trying to make the process work better. It is really best for Oregon that we continue this, finish it, and move on into the future. And I think that's much better for us as citizens, and certainly much better for us in economic development.
Question, Richard Schumacher, you find yourself isolated among
the country. Till I charge regularly, though. There are quite a few county commissioners in the state that are seeking what they call local control, which is the attitude displayed by their constituency, give it back to the commissioners and let them run the county as well as the comprehensive plan. I would suggest to you that that's the very reason why Senate Bill 100 was passed in the first instance, is because we had local control. And comprehensive plans weren't forthcoming, and now they are. Most of the counties are a long ways into having a comprehensive plan. The idea that there is a group down in Salem, there's a thread that runs through this, there's a group in Salem that's telling me what to do, they find very repugnant. I would suggest that you have a twofold problem, and one of the things is 1,000 Friends of Oregon. God bless Henry Richmond. The perception of county officials is that they can't seem to get anything squared away comprehensive plan-wise. LCDC says, yeah, that appears to be okay. All of a sudden, they're sued. Or what counties consider to be picking the thing. I don't think LCDC is an agency that's down there trying to stop counties and cities from adopting comprehensive plans. They're there to help us. And they've been a great deal of help to Clackamas County. We're almost there. We've been down there four times. And the reason we've been there four times is because we have these lawsuits making us go down there. That's what's difficult. I appreciate LCDC. I appreciate the problems that they face because they have all of this on the grand scale. They've got all of the state of Oregon, not just Clackamas County or Multnomah County. They've got to make all of these plans mesh and have some semblance of credibility, and also to follow those goals. And those are good goals. And I'll stick with it. Six is a bad move.
Are there any additional questions? Well, thank you all very much for coming at this hour of the morning and finding this upstairs flat. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, John.
Did Fred continue his luncheon thing on Friday?
I think so.
Well, I'd heard from Paul about might have been, you know, I was debating which place to go to Fred's luncheon or go out to Reed for the same day there, and Paul and Fred were talking about it. I don't know
what they've done. I'll have to find out.
Yeah, Fred was gone yesterday, so
Fred,
I couldn't
find out. Fred was out yesterday, and I haven't seen him since
Thursday, yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's giving a luncheon at the record club, and I was debating which one to go to.
Mark Evers from Channel 6.
Yeah.
I wonder if you would have some time, probably next week sometime, for me to sit down with you and do a whatever you want, just putting together an election special on ballot measure 6.
Okay, I'd be happy to. I don't know my exact count. I know I go to the players and get back on the set. I'll have to be a bunch of people to win one. I think I'm very, you call Marvel to pay. I'll be back to Robert.
I'll do that then.
653-8881.
Yeah, I can do that, I'm sure.
Sometime we'll get to go first. 3 days of next week, and I had to get things on a form of 35. Great. All right, fine.
John, do you have
a... I do not. I'd like to see that.
One statement, and I think you can use a fact, so you need something more to this.
Yes.
We cannot find one company that is not coming on because of the need. And I've got this one.
I'll give you
maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not. 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 I'm not
Now, to me, I would rather live on the farm. It's supposed to say, I think that's cool. You want to give them money? I'd be happy. Yeah. Oh, you stay. It's really nice this morning. Yeah. However, everyone is totally excellent. Have you seen these places? It's incredible.
I saw one of those places ages ago.
Really?
I'm not sure what was the same building. There's a couple of them, aren't there?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
These places are really fancy.
Oh, a moral person?